Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
This has the fingerprints of disaster written all over it. Because this is God's promised child, Isaac. And God said to Abraham, I want you to go to Mount Moriah, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. That has to be shocking. That has to be shocking. That's just like you don't have a car. And you pray about it for 2 years, and lo and behold, God gives you a brand new car. And then God says, take it and give it to your mother-in-law. And you know how your mother-in-law feels about you. So, that can't be what God is saying, but that's exactly what God was saying. He said, take the promise child, that the entire promise of God hangs on his life, take him to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. Friend, I'm just amazed at people's ability. I'm amazed at people that serve in the military. I watched a whole documentary on a guy that served in Vietnam and the things he went through. I wouldn't be able to do that. I'm just not that strong and brave and whatever. I'm just not. And then in the Bible, I look at things in the Bible and say, man, I just couldn't do that, God. And so when I look at this story, I couldn't do that. If God told me to take Sean and offer him as a sacrifice, or Brandon, I couldn't do that. I don't have that ability. And so I struggle with that, and I'm amazed at that. But Abraham trusted God so much, he did what I don't believe I would be able to do. He went up that mountain with Isaac, and Isaac said, well, here's the wood, here's the fire. But he said, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham does not want to reveal to him that he's getting ready to kill him. He said, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. So they get up there, and he lays Isaac on that altar. It's starting to dawn on Isaac now. He's starting to get this figured out. And finally, Abraham gets that knife, and he gets ready to plunge it in to Isaac's heart. And God said, don't do it. I will provide a sacrifice. And all of a sudden, there is a ram in the thicket. So this has the potential to be a tragic, tragic story. Let me explain to you, every miracle that you will experience in your life has the potential to be a tragedy. But God is able to turn it around. All of God's promises were predicated on Isaac. And Abraham is willing to sacrifice him. All of Abraham's faith was one reason, and I've studied this story for years, but it just never dawned on me till recently. But in the book of Hebrews is this little text. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. It's talking about Abraham's faith. When he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and he said, God, I will do this. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. But that's not the only reason. The Bible said that the reason why Abraham was able to do that he had faith unto Isaac's resurrection. He said he knew that God could resurrect him. Abraham was the first man in the history of the world to believe in the resurrection. There are so many people today that do not believe in the resurrection. But I am convinced beyond a shadow of doubt that there is a resurrection. There is a resurrection. I marvel at people, not young people, but old people, that literally are marching toward death. And they have made no prerequisite or no arrangements to die. They're just going to take their chances. Folks, this is not Vegas. And there are no chances. It's yay or nay. Yes or no. I'm just going to wait and find out. You're not going to like what you find out because it is pre-decided. The spirit of the resurrection is something that you must embrace while you are living. Not only is the Holy Spirit the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Did you know the Bible said that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead? It was the Holy Spirit in him. Jesus warns us of the leaven of the Sadducees. You know, there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the group of religious Jews, and they did not believe in the supernatural. Acts 23 and 8 said, For the Sadducees say there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So Jesus warns us of the leaven of the Sadducees, and that is that we would doubt the resurrection. Friend, of everything I am convinced of, there is a resurrection. And I am convinced of it not just because of what I read in the Bible. You've read of the story of Lazarus, the friend of Christ. When the news was brought to him that he was sick, Jesus tarried a few days, shows up apparently late in the mind of Martha and Mary, his sisters, and they come out to talk to Jesus and said, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, he will live again. They said, well, maybe in the resurrection. He said, no, right now. Lazarus was the premonition. It was the omen. It was the first fruits. It was to help us understand that Christ is the resurrection. Christ is the resurrection. There's nothing worse that could happen to you by far that you would die without the hope of the resurrection. The resurrection power is amazing. We must put on the spirit of resurrection on this side of the grave, or it cannot raise us on the other side of the grave. The Bible talks about it often. When I walk through this life, at some point in time, I've got to find the spirit of God's resurrection. I ask you that are in the sound of my voice and watching today, have you ever embraced the spirit of the resurrection? The Holy Spirit comes when we believe on Jesus, as the scripture has said. The Holy Spirit is the power of resurrection. Acts 1 and 8. Jesus was getting ready to ascend and leave his disciples alone on this earth. He had made the promise, and he said, I must go away because another comforter is coming. And then in Acts 1 and 8, he said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. Have you ever questioned why Christ didn't just stay and walk this earth? Because he could only be in one place at one time. But he said, when I go away, I'm going to send another spirit. And that spirit can be everywhere all the time. You see, if Christ was on this earth, we can only have his attention one at a time. But with the Holy Spirit, we can all have his attention. One of my Baptist friends told me, said, you Holy Ghost filled people or something. Said, you get together and you all pray at the same time. Said, we Baptists, we appoint one person to pray so God can hear us. We don't want to confuse God. Believe me, friend, you don't have the ability to confuse God. I don't know how many hundreds of people are here and listening right now, but we can pray at one time and God can differentiate and hear each of us individually. But we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of resurrection. Christ said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Spirit comes when we believe on Jesus, as the scripture has said. People don't like it when I say this, but I'm not saying it. I'm quoting it. There's a big difference in me saying something and me quoting Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 38, he that believeth on me, said, do you believe on Jesus Christ? I certainly do. I believe on Jesus Christ. Well, listen to what Jesus said about himself. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus said, if you believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. What is that? That's the spirit of the resurrection. Friend, it is absolutely essential that you get in your body the spirit of resurrection, that it lives inside of you. You say, well, I believe I've got it. This is not something that you want to trust to speculation. This is something you want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Because, friend, I promise you, when you die, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. And so it is my good fortune. When I was 13 years of age, I gave my life to Christ at 10. I was baptized at 10, but I got filled with the Holy Spirit at 13. It changed my life totally. It was on February the 24th, 1963, in Mooresville, Indiana, with a foot of snow on the ground outside, that God baptized me with the Holy Ghost. It changed my life forever. You say, well, I believe I got it. I'm not sure. You don't have it. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if you receive the Holy Spirit, you will know beyond the shadow of a doubt. It will change your life. Because the Holy Spirit is that Spirit that will resurrect us from the grave. If it raised Jesus from the dead, it will raise us from the dead. And so the Holy Spirit is a part of my life every day. When I pray, I can feel it. Somebody said a prayer wheel turning. It's not a prayer wheel turning. It's the Holy Spirit walking up and down inside of me. I sense that there is a spirit inside of me. Have you ever watched The Exorcist? Did you ever see that girl filled with the devil? I never watched that movie, but I saw little excerpts of it. The Holy Spirit is the exact opposite of that. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. It will make you alive. Say, I don't see how you can pray every day. That's because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, I don't know why you love the Word of God. That's because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, I can't believe you come to church 3 or 4 times a week. I couldn't do that. That's because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't give like you give. That's because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said when they received the Holy Spirit, they were accused of being drunk. And Peter said, they are not drunk as ye suppose, but this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel when God said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit. You know, drunk people are something. I've never been around a lot of drunk people. I try to avoid them as much as I possibly can. But do you know the first $100 bill I ever got was from a drunk man? I was in Iola, Illinois. That's a little town where I was raised in my first few years. And we had a big old Pentecostal church in that town. And so these guys drove up in a car, and they were drunk. And they said to me, hey, boy, come here. I went over to the car. I was about, I don't know, 7, 8 years old. They said, come over here. And I was on my way to church. And they said, where's all the girls in this town? Just a little old town, 100 people, and the church run about 150. I said, they're right around the corner in that little white building. And they said, really? I said, what are they doing? I said, they're probably dancing. And he said, okay, son. He gave me a $100 bill. And then I didn't realize that I liked people that were drunk. Kind of. When you get drunk, you'll do things you've never done before. That's a terrible, terrible deal. They go to court and they said, did you kill that girl? Yeah, but I was drunk. Like, that's an excuse. No, that's not an excuse. You chose to get drunk. Well, friend, I've never been drunk on wine or alcohol or beer, but I've been drunk on the Holy Spirit, and I have spent a lifetime doing things that I would not normally do. God overpowers my flesh. When I would do good, evil is present. But there's something better than that. When I would do evil, good is present. The Holy Ghost comes on me, and friend, I am not my own person. The Holy Spirit is stronger in me than the flesh is. There is a spirit of resurrection that lives inside of me. And every day of my life, I do things that I don't want to do. I give away money that I don't want to give away. I do things I don't want to do because I'm lazy or I'm preoccupied. I want to do something else. But the Holy Spirit said, no, you get up and you do that. No, you write that check. You give them. It's the Holy Spirit. And I know they say, rest in peace. I'm not going to rest in peace. I am going to be more alive when I die. Why? Because the same Spirit that was in Christ is in me. And he said, if that same Spirit was in Christ, what will it do? It will quicken your mortal body. That's what the Bible said. I'm going to tell you what. Jesus said, or Apostle Paul said, your last enemy is death. Friend, I'm going to tell you that there is something inside of me that's greater than death. I can mock death and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? The Holy Ghost literally drives my life. I've all of my life, I've owned a bunch of ranches. I don't know how many, but I hadn't owned a big enough one. All of my life, I've wanted about 10,000 acres. And I wanted it to be a long way from anybody, where all I had was my horses and my cows. Just get up in the morning, that's all I had to deal with. Didn't have to deal with nobody, didn't have to talk to nobody, just out there. And when I was much younger, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, a lady lived right over on Shin Oak, I mean, within sight of this church, called me. She said, Reverend, can you come over and talk to me? And I said, yeah, I didn't know her. I went over there and she was an older woman. And she said, I've got 5,800 acres in Marathon, Texas. And she said, I want to sell it to you. She said, my husband died. I have no family. I have no children. I want to sell it to you. She said, it's worth several million dollars. She said, Reverend, I'm going to sell it to you for $1 million. And you can pay for it any way you want to. You can pay me $100 a month. Once I die, she said, it's paid. It's yours. Friend, I thought I died and went to heaven. She said, I want you to go look at it. She said, I can't get out there anymore. I'm too old and sickly. I can't get out there. But she said, I got a foreman out there. I'm going to call him. And said, he'll have a horse waiting for you. And you go out there and you get on that horse and you ride that ranch and you come back and tell me what you want to do. I said, okay. So I drove out there to Marathon, Texas, stayed in that hotel out there. What's that place called? I forget the name of that hotel. It's famous. Got a little hotel out there. And anyway, I stayed in that hotel that night, and then I drove out to the ranch, and a guy went up to the house, and a guy met me. He brought me a beautiful Palomino horse, and I rode that ranch, and it rained. A lot of times it don't rain, but it rained that year. It was as green as a postcard. I mean, it just looked like something out of a magazine. And so I rode that ranch. I spent all day out there. I just enjoyed it. Went through the house, went through the barn. In his barn, he had a lab, like a veterinarian's lab. It was all there. I looked at it. I wanted that worse than I wanted cotton candy when I was 6 years old. Oh, I wanted that place so bad. And I was I come back so elated. I went right over on Shin Oak, and I met her. She said, you see that ranch? I said, it's absolutely beautiful. She said, you can have the cattle on it. You can have the horses on it. The fences were great. You can have it all. For $1 million, pay me like you want. When I die, it's yours. And I heard myself saying, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to buy that. That wasn't even me. But God knew that if I bought that church or bought that ranch in Marathon, Texas, this church would suffer. I'd be out there all the time. I'd just come here once in a while. And it wasn't me that said, no, I'm not going to take it. Friend, I've thought about that nearly every day since. And every time I get discouraged or disappointed or aggravated or frustrated or anything else you can think of, I think I wished I was on a ranch in Marathon, Texas. But friend, the Holy Ghost would not let me take that. Because I'm not my own. I have a spirit of the resurrection in me. And I'll tell you, I've resented not buying that ranch. I regretted not buying that ranch. But I'll tell you, the day I won't regret it is the day I die. Because it ain't gonna matter how many cars or how much clothes or how many houses or how much ranch or how much money you got. I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, the only thing that's on my mind right now is that everybody in the sound of my voice in this building would be saved, and every one of you would be filled with the Holy Spirit, and every one of you would be healthy and healed. I am here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I live for no other purpose, because what happened to me is so fantastic. It changed me and transformed me. And friend, I don't want you to shake my hand and join the church. I want you to get filled with the spirit of the resurrection, because I promise you it will change your life. You'll make the right decision. You'll live abundantly. You'll live victoriously. You'll be an overcomer. You will be successful in the things that God wants you to do. But most of all, you'll be ready to meet Jesus Christ. And when that mortician puts you in that coffin and says, rest in peace, you won't rest in peace, because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And you will say, thank God, thank God, thank God. I have the spirit of the resurrection, and the grave can't hold me down, and the coffin can't hold me down, and death can't hold me down. I am going to live forever and ever and ever. And so my appeal to you today is, do you have the spirit of the resurrection living in you? You say, well, I'm not sure. You don't have it then. Because, friend, I'm going to tell you what. People talk about the devil making them do things that they don't want to do. The Holy Ghost makes me do things every day that my flesh does not want to do.